Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Welcome back to our admirable friends.
Yes, welcome back.
We're back. We had a little bit of a glitch last week, but all things have been fixed. And
yeah, our group, BBS Radio, had some technical difficulties, but they scrambled real fast and helped, did a great job in repairing entire system.
And you got to feel bad when something like that happens to them. That must have been, I just don't even, you know, when you think you get a bad day at work, that's, you know, all I can imagine is what that must have been like, so.
Yeah, well, we appreciate them for.
We do.
Getting us back online, and we're happy to be here and start a brand new cycle tonight, Carol. We're starting the whole cycle all over again.
We are. It's hard to believe we've been through 10 weeks, and now we're starting all over again.
Yeah, it's renew. It's a time to kind of renew and start over.
And reinforce and support and encourage.
Yeah.
And all those other things that really keep you in a forward motion.
Well, last week we looked back. So this week, we look back to our show.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we're going to kind of look forward and assume that everybody's new coming into the program. Mm-hmm. And we start anew.
Sounds
but
like
before
a
we start.
Before we start.
Let's start with our gratitudes.
Well, this is kind of, I was really struggling with thinking of what I was grateful for because I know.
I understand. But I shouldn't be funny like that.
No, I was struggling.
You had a bad day at work. I know it when I picked you up.
Well, it just, and I tell you, I think I was going to say that I was grateful that the clock struck 5 and I could walk out the door from work because I worked very, very hard at maintaining. It took all of my tools in my bag of tricks, all of my ideal mind qualities, I put them to work today. But
it wasn't good enough.
It was exhausting by the end. I really felt like I really was put through the paces.
Depleted.
I really did feel a little bit depleted. But oddly enough, when I heard our intro, I felt such a smile.
Energized.
Inside and out that it was like all forgotten. Isn't that corny?
No, it's not corny. Let's kick it into gear. So let's get to your gratefuls. Or do you not have one?
I was grateful for the intro.
Okay.
Because it reminded me that I'm with admirable friends and it doesn't matter because the day is over. I mean, what's past is past and
it's good.
It's a done deal.
One thing I want to remind our listeners tonight, too, is on our website, bbsradio.com/admirablefriends, or if you go to admirablefriends.org and press the radio button, you'll get to that same place, bbsradio.com/admirablefriends. We have an instant chat there now. So any of you that have internet access that are listening and you want to go to that page, bbsradio.com/admirablefriends, you kind of scroll down a bit underneath the program archives and you're going to see a category called Instant Chat. And you can chat anything you like during the show.
So somebody could just type in.
It's going to be like, everybody can see what's being typed in. So join the chat, get on the chat.
Do they know who's doing it?
Or yeah, because you type in the message here. You can look right on the screen. You type the message in, and then who is defaulting to Buddy and Carol because they know we've signed on.
Uh-huh.
But you type your message in. You could have an alias, a real name, whatever you like.
I gotcha.
But this way we can interact with people through the chat while we're talking, and you know they can put big question marks. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Out
to lunch, OTL, is that right? whatever you like. So go to that webpage today. Let's give it a try.
That's cool.
And before we start, I want to express gratitude towards those that have helped me along my road and helped me find my way out of the woods, which we're going to talk about tonight. Where's the way out of the woods? And I reflected today and thought about all those that have helped me. And I'm very grateful for the help I've received from so many to find my way out and on the road to reliable happiness. But since I've been on that road, I'm really grateful for so many more people and the admirable friendship. When you break it apart and you say, let's look for qualities in people, and you start looking for the good in others, it's amazing how many good people there are out there that have such good qualities that you can learn from.
That's true.
They may not be the wisest and most advanced on the road, but each one has their own qualities. And I've been able to pick it up, whether it's honesty or authenticity or perseverance, that quality or commitment. So there's so much to be thankful for.
That's nice.
So, hate to be long-winded, but
no,
I'm feeling really good today. And but let's start. And I thought this was really important, Carol. We talked briefly about this before we got on the show today. But one thing that I've learned, especially with Allison, who's on our board and helping us with our social networking, is learning better to relate to and be very sensitive to those who are inquisitive, curiosity to admirable friends first coming here, and understanding their point of view and right. being able to relate to those type of people. So what I'd like to do is have both of us kind of go through memory lane and wind our clocks back to our own personal story of how we came to the road towards reliable happiness. Even though obviously it's more crystallized now than when we started, but let's go back and try to share with our listeners our story individually so maybe they can understand and connect a little bit with us back then, just so we're not talking so they don't understand our point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Okay. Because I think like most people out there, we started this journey with a question mark somewhere. I think a lot of people have question marks, you know.
Yeah, it all starts with a question. But what were our questions? Let's go to that. What was your question?
Well,
go back.
I guess,
you know, go back and be as honest as you can.
I can remember just kind of standing, I think it was in the middle of a field somewhere, and just thinking, what is this all about? You know, where's this all going?
Where's this all going was your question.
Yeah, because I really felt like at that point in my life, it just seemed like I was at the whim of external experiences.
The cork in the ocean.
Absolutely. With no, it felt like a cork in the ocean, just kind of, you know, going with the wave, you know, getting bobbed around, not really having any kind of knowing where the horizon was, not having any kind of vantage point, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? So
I do.
I can't, let's see, you know, because usually if you could see the shoreline or whatever, you've got context to where you're at. So I felt like nothing had context.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I felt lost. Like, what's the purpose? Where's this going? What's it all about? You know, I just really...
Was it a feeling of stress or was it a search for happiness? Because it's usually either side of that coin that comes in.
At that point, I think it was more of a even contentment. Before we put that reliable happiness moniker to what we were looking for, at that point, I thought, I just want a more even, not so many peaks and valleys, but mostly just kind of
so
an
it was,
evenness.
It was not that you were in touch with your stress and you wanted to be less stressful. Well, I guess in a way it is. It's one of the same thing. You want to be less stressful, but you also at the same time wanted to be more content,
yes,
more reliably happy.
Yes.
But was it a light? Was it a lightning bolt, or was it just kind of you remember the event when it was there, right? So were there questions before that? Or
I just kind of think it was like more of a wistfulness. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, you know, what's just kind of wistful. It wasn't like a lightning bolt. It wasn't an event that happened that just kind of shook me up. It was just,
okay,
you know, just kind of a deep breath saying, you know, it's just weary being thrown around.
Okay.
Like that emotionally to the
external. Hopefully there's some out there that can connect with that. That's where your starting point was. And by the way, I have, before I go into my history, we had some chats come on board, as you can all, if you're seeing, one person said, I'm grateful to have a drive from within that helps me continue when times are tough. What a wonderful gratitude that is. John says, I'm grateful to have a drive from within that helps me continue when times are tough.
Very nice.
And Mayor says, I'm grateful for the rainstorm going on right now in Scottsdale, Arizona. Also spending time with both of you tonight.
Very cool.
And we know
Thanks,
who Mayor,
Mayor.
Is. because there's only one mayor in Arizona in our world.
That's right. In our world, there's only one mayor. But that is so cool, the instant chat, the way that works.
It does. So we'll have more of this. We'll have more. And Buddy's got a message here. It's called Test Text.
Oh, very good. Yeah. You did that.
So, okay, my story, if I go back to memory lane, it goes back as far as I can remember, that I've been always looking for happiness. Aware of desire for happiness. From the moment I was a young kid looking up at the moon saying, I want to go to the moon. But there was a point in my life, and I can't really remember all the point when, where I realized, you know, if you haven't found it by now, you could be looking in the wrong places. Mm. So something opened up in me at that point to listen to alternatives, kind of a beginner's mind. And of course, that was addressed by Sister Tan Tui in Fort Worth when she kind of opened my mind in the garden. But what I'm saying is that question I had was, what? Where is happiness? I've had it all. You know, we've had homes, we've had cars, we've had all kinds of money and all kinds of successful families and loving families, and I still wasn't happy reliably. So it's like, where is this happiness? And so it was a bit of distress, but it was also, you know, kind of a forward lean, because you know I've always been able to try to find a pony and when I'm knee deep into,
yeah,
baloney, right?
Exactly.
So, but I do remember saying, you know, I must be looking the wrong places. You spent
Would
a whole
you
lifetime.
Would you categorize it as a feeling of dis-ease? You know, you just, it's a feeling. Is it a feeling?
Oh, it definitely was a feeling. It was a feeling of a lack of contentment, not knowing. But it was a noticeable detour that says the road I'm on is not going to get me. Because I've had it all. If by now, whatever I've acquired in terms of wealth and in terms of family and in terms of relationships, if I'm still not happy, then there's something wrong with my repertoire. I took responsibility. From what I've listened to with people in terms of their questions, the two kinds of questions I see most often are, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are asking who I am when they come to the center or begin an admirable friends discussion, because they're not sure of who they are. Or it's, what do I need to do to be happy? Because I'm acting stressful. I'm living stressfully, and I need to. And then there's the other third one. That's, I just got to get out of stress.
Right.
There's like no happiness in the equation.
Yeah.
So there's three kinds of questions that come that everybody has in their head. And especially since we're starting with lesson number one, I think we have to respect and honor those questions.
Well, I think you have to ask the question in order to get starting on the road. I mean, or else you're
spinning. I'm saying for us to connect to our listeners, it's important for us to really respect that that's their question. Because what happens is if we try to give it an answer and we plow right into lesson one like we did last cycle. Mm-hmm. Remember, there were some people, I think it was either Linda or Tom, that said, wait a minute, I can't buy into all of this. There's too much. So what they were saying to us upon reflection, at least the way I took it was, is I like this. I'm curious about this. I want to know more. And we have to respect that perhaps they don't know the way out of the woods and that they're searching for answers for the way out. Right? And you can't expect them to have conviction or commitment on a process. We can't expect them. I can't expect them without having some proof that this new road we're talking about actually produces some results in their life. Right?
Right. But it's also an experiment. It's a life experiment. At the same time, with Admirable Friends and Reliable Happiness, in regards to, you need to be free to be with others that feel the same way you do and be able to voice it. I'm feeling
you do
this,
but that's not the way you started. Go back to your question. You were all alone. I was all alone. These questions were in our own heads. We had no admirable friends at the time. At least we weren't aware of it.
We had each other, which was important.
At some level. I'll agree we had each other. But at another level, that question you had, if I was providing you everything you needed, why did you have that question? Mm. Okay? Or if you were providing me that everything that I needed, like in the movies, you complete me, Carol. Obviously, you didn't. I wouldn't have had the question. Obviously, I didn't complete you at that point. There was question individually in our hearts. We weren't solid.
Right. That's true. But I think when you were talking about respecting others about their question and where they're at, is everybody's has that journey, that internal journey that they need to take.
Individually.
Because no one else can.
It starts with an individual conversation in their heads.
Correct.
And then what we're trying to do is help people along that journey by bringing a network of friends together because of our experience. But what I was saying is I want to circle right back to the beginning for us and respect that each one of our listeners are just curious right now. Mm-hmm. They've probably got one of those three questions. And I'd like to ask them, or if anybody wants to type in the text, you know, if they want to tell me even anonymously what their question is, if it's one of those three. And again, I'll repeat those. Number one is, you know, where is reliable happiness? Number two is, who am I? You know, I don't know enough about myself. I'm not comfortable in my skin. Mm-hmm. And number three is, I just want less stress in my life. How do I get less stress in my life? What is the plague?
That covers the majority of people I've met.
The third one? Okay. Well, I think my point is they started individually. And when we talk about determination, which is our first one out of the gate, lesson one is determination.
Right, because that's the overriding.
The overriding quality. We shouldn't be saying, hey, be like us, be determined.
Oh, it's not that easy.
No, it took us a long time to get to where we are as far as determination goes. And I think it's conditional determination that improves based upon the results. That's why I was trying to pay respect to my teachers and the people I surrounded myself with. We didn't get here by ourselves.
No.
Yes, we helped each other, but like I said, we were still alone trying to search for answers. There were friends outside of our family and outside of our relationships that helped us on the road. And we're trying to pay respect to them by helping others this way. And we have to respect where people are coming from. They're individually. So we have to give them the time, the support, the simple questions, the ability to ask simple questions, to relate simply.
But doesn't it start with the truth seeking, like we were talking about the other day, seeking the truth? When you ask that question.
Yeah, you're a truth seeker. We're all asking for the truth. You know, what is the truth of the situation? Where's the truth of my happiness? But you know, when you really break down human desire, if you look at desire, which we're all desirable humans, what is desire? What does that mean? To me, desire equals happiness. And we may, because we're stressed right now, we don't realize that, but I believe when you look at every desire you execute during the day, you are searching for happiness. I am searching for happiness. Desire equals happiness. Okay, so we're all in common searching for happiness. But the other thing we're finding we all have in common is we're all stressed. So could it be that we're all looking for happiness in the wrong places? That's the working premise that I started with. And I believe it was the case. I believe I was indeed looking for happiness in the wrong places. Now, I can't make that representation to somebody else and say, no, you're looking for happiness in the wrong place.
No.
They've got to find that out for themselves. We can point them and say, well, did you try here? Did you try here? So it's kind of like we're all lost in the woods looking for the way out. And we have to help each other get on the way out. Because we are doing everything we do, if you're in touch with your intentions, is motivated by happiness. I want to be happy.
Because it's the collective experience that we're supplying with Admirable Friends. You know, if we're all in the woods together,
yes,
there's chances are that somebody's going to say, well, you know, the last time I was lost in the woods, I did this and this helped me out. Or somebody said, well, the last time I did this. So it's the individual first person experience that really is the learning tool that helps others.
Yeah, and I think we have to define what it is we're looking for to get out. If we say we're in the woods, whether it's through stress or looking for happiness, however we term our question, then we have to come up with a common term to say, what does the exit look like? What is that horizon? You know, I call it hope or happiness. There's a way out. Okay, because if there's not a way out, then we know where depression leads. And what a sad story about Robin Williams.
I know. It's
a sad story, but that's the opposite end when there's no hope. Right? Because we all have stress, but when the stress builds and there's no hope, you're left with despair.
Yes. And that's the unfortunate thing, is just the level of despair is just so heartbreaking.
Yeah. It is, with somebody that pleased so many people in their life, but you never know what's under the surface, do you?
Mm-hmm.
So, in any case, we have to start by defining what the road out is, or what the goal is. You know, what is the horizon? And that term reliable happiness needs to be dealt with this evening, you know? And of course, we're doing it as Admirable Friends, as people that are on that same road. And we know at minimum, that road includes some honesty, right? Some authenticity, some integrity. So these are the qualities.
Well, you have to be willing to look at it at face value and really face it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's...
Well, when we talk about a determination, which we'll talk about, there's elements of a good determination of what it takes to put your mind to it. But the truth is, no matter whether it's learning to play the piano or... whatever we do, it's an act of will. We decide to do it. So one thing about starting this road is you have to decide to do it, right? Even if it's a small step, I'm going to take this step. If it's the step is I'm going to listen to these two quacks at 7 o'clock tonight, Central Time, that's your first step. Right? If I'm going to go read a paper, I'm going to come back and circle back. I'm away for 4 weeks. That's my first step. You know, and that question, you remember that question didn't just come instant to us, did it?
No.
Kept asking that question over and over again. Where is the road out of here? But the question became the answer, because the more we articulate the road, the more I was more humble about, I couldn't find my own, the way I was going. I had to look in a different direction. Then all of a sudden, answers started to appear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was asking the question from a statement of humility.
Well, and I think too is you're not focused on where you've been. It's where you're going.
Right.
Right? You weren't.
I wasn't focused, but I was certainly aware that I hadn't found happiness in the past. So there was an element of awareness of the history. I guess I always felt responsible for my own actions. That wasn't an epiphany. Oh, we're responsible for our actions. Although I do think some people have an epiphany like that because they're so consumed in external demands and needs based upon their life that sometimes they just pry loose and say, well, I can make these choices. You know, was it the philosopher James, I forget his first name, but I think he's 18th century philosopher, said that there were two kinds of truths, two types of truth of the will and truth of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's truth like science and gravity, but then there's truths of the will, meaning I want to play the piano. You know, these are things that we have to execute. So each one of us has to kind of take responsibility for getting out of the woods. There's that minimum requirement. An awareness of the question and then the hope for the answer, that there are some answers to get out. Get out on a more reliable, happy course. Now, some are still like I was in my 20s, where, you know, you still had a hope on every business deal or a relationship, or that this was going to be it. You know, mm-hmm. the house we bought, this is it. We're never going to move. How many times did we say that? We're never going to move.
A million. Mm-hmm.
Like we found happiness in a house.
Yeah. No.
No. That wasn't it.
No.
So, you know, but there was that hope, wasn't there? That if only. Remember we used to say that?
Yeah.
If only is a great word. If only this would happen, we'd be happy. It just never happened. Because I submit that we were looking for the happiness outside of ebb through the ebb and flow of external events and good times. And that's not to say that this road of looking internal is mutually exclusive of that road. I mean, you can still enjoy the nice home and all of the nice, and you can still be with the sadness of loss and feel that. But you somehow feel, at least I feel now, that we have a way out, a reliable way out. I have a confidence.
And it's dynamic. It's not linear, like step A, step B, you know.
No.
It's forward and back, and you jump over a few, and you come back. It's like leapfrog and then back. And as long as you're slugging at it, nobody can fault you, I don't think, for
no,
that. I mean, I don't feel like I'm, you know, some days I feel like I'm making strides, and then some days I feel like I'm just inching along like a tortoise.
But the overall course, do you think you're on target?
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
Because I have experiences that reinforce that during the week or during the day, and I can only attribute it to.
But it's a different sense of conviction and determination that
it's
you have now
satisfying.
Than when you started.
There's
when you
more
started,
satisfaction.
Right? When you started, when I asked you to go back 15 years ago and you talked about the field,
yeah.
right? How's your conviction now versus then?
Oh, it's night and day.
Right. So what built that conviction for you? What built that determination? Was
it
actual
was the,
experience, right?
It was the actual. It was the seeking. It was the seeking and then the experiencing. And then that gave me the conviction so that, you know, it just had the wheel perpetuated even more
yep.
as far as building on it. So I feel confident that I'm on the right track.
So. I'm happy to hear that. Of course, I know that because I live with you. But I just thought it was important before we break here to go back to memory lane and say, well, you know, how did it begin for us? And anyone that wants to share with text of how what's in their mind? What are the questions? You know, what is the seeking? What are we seeking for? Am I correct when I say we're all seeking happiness? Is that what our desires are about? Am I incorrect? Please, you know, comment. Let me learn from you. So let's take a minute break here and we'll come back and get into the body of the lessons. Okay?
Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
See you in a minute.
See you in a minute.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals, yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Well, we're back after a little minute break.
Welcome back, everybody. And I just chatted those three questions out if anybody wanted to see them online. We got John who made a comment here. He says, when I set my goal of reliable happiness is my ability to cause less stress to myself or others. It allows me to experience happiness in one simple act. And through this act, I can see the end as a possibility.
Nice.
Wow, isn't that nice?
That's powerful stuff.
There's a wise man right there who's, what's that step? Every great journey begins with the first step,
mm-hmm.
is what that...
Isn't that a Lao Tzu?
What's that?
Lao Tzu, wasn't that?
Is it?
Journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
And Ian says, I felt happy, I felt low stress, but so what? What's next? What do I do with it? How do I benefit others? So Ian had a sense of happiness but and low stress, so that's what he remembers, but he says, what's next? So it wasn't like... That's interesting. That's a little softer approach. That's kind of a hybrid between you and I, isn't it? This is good. I like this text. I like how people comment on this. This is really cool.
It's kind of an interesting thing.
It is.
It's very cool.
So let's get into the body of determination, which is... we call it doubt and determination, lesson one. And we always have the opposite of determination would be doubt.
Okay.
So we all enter the practice with doubt. Isn't that what a question is?
Yes.
So everything we started talking about is our doubts. And we have to turn that into determination or choice or an act of will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was William James, by the way, was that philosopher that I was talking about. And the act of the will is our desire, and we have so many determinations every day, don't we? We have lots of them, lots of voices, lots of wants.
Yes.
I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And I guess the purpose, at least I feel going back in history now, is my wants have minimized to less wants.
Mm-hmm.
So in my life, what I'm left with is really I only have one main plaguing determination, one question. You know, the most important thing for me in my life is to find reliable happiness and to seek it and to work towards it.
Doesn't it seem like it's a sifting process? Like, you know, if you were going to sift through a sifter.
So you go from many to one, right?
Right.
To strengthen determination.
Because we're talking about determination as a skillful directed towards, it directs desire with firmness and purpose.
Right.
So you have to, when you say we go through a day wanting lots of things and having lots of determinations, the key phrase or word there is skillful. So eventually you're going to have to look at them at face value for what they are,
yes.
All these wants,
yes.
And say, is,
and sort them out.
Is this, yeah,
right.
And sift them through. Is this want going to get me to reliable happiness?
Okay, so but before, you're right into the first element of a good determination is discernment, and that's what you just hit on.
Yes.
That sifting is the discernment or the wisdom function. But before we get into all those definitions, let's just recap. Reliable happiness is what now to you and what to us? It's that ease, calm, predictable happiness, not a lot of spikes. Right?
It's the anchor that you feel, that foundation that you have. And gosh, I wish I could remember what I was thinking earlier. It wasn't control that I was talking about. I'm going to have to think about it. You're going to have to give me a minute to process this because
okay.
I had a great word and I thought, oh, that's it right there. And then I totally forgot.
All right. Our lesson one is to develop determination. And it's a process. So
yes,
we don't start out with divine determination. Actually, we start out, let's call it 99% doubt, 1% determination. I'm determined to listen to these to on the radio today.
Okay.
Okay. So if we've got 99% doubt and we've got to turn determination, we have to shift that equation the other way around. We have to minimize our doubt. So we have to consider, what are the elements of a good determination or a good vow? If I'm truly interested in seeking reliable happiness as my goal, and that's the context of this determination, right? I'm determined to get to reliable happiness. Mm-hmm. What are the four elements of a good determination, Carol?
Well, wisdom.
Wisdom.
Truth.
Yeah.
Letting go. And calming.
Exactly. Those are the four. Even though we have 10 ideal mind states, they're broken down into four categories.
Yes, they're all categorized into
right?
those.
So the first question that comes out of the box right away is, okay, if I'm going to be determined for reliable happiness, then I have to think about it wisely, about what it would take to make a good determination. Like you said, you have to sift through my choices. So that's the wisdom faculty. So one of the main elements, and that's why it's the first that we teach, mm-hmm. is discernment. You've got to use a wise factor. So you have to make choices as to, if I'm going to seek reliable happiness, then what choices lead me to reliable happiness? Which one lead me to
stress?
The next item of a good determination, the second item is
truth.
So now that I'm saying I'm going to ask those questions, I've got to be true and stick with it. Right? If I'm going to really be determined and pull this off, then I'm going to have to be true to myself, be authentic, and stick with my commitments. Mm-hmm. So that's the second element of a good determination. The third element of what is what?
Third category. The letting go.
Letting go. So after you all of a sudden start thinking about what you're going to do, you start being true to yourself, you find out further down the road, like we did, that there's going to be some things I'm going to have to let go of to pull this off. Right? I can't have it all. Isn't that what we came to?
Yeah.
In our travels? We're going to have to give some up. That was our downsizing. Right? We're going to have to give up some of the things. There's some choices we're going to have to make.
But that's in the whole context, too, of the wisdom and the truth, the discernment, it's a compilation of everything all rolled into one. So when you're looking at it, the letting go, you're going to be seeing it.
Yeah, but I think it's, again, getting back to meeting people where they are. Sometimes when we ask them to let go and to exercise restraint, that's why we see a twinge. When I ask people, and I never even say that up front anymore, because I just kind of know if I told them they had to let go and give up certain things, they'd say, well, this is not a road for me. I'm sticking with the candy bar. Okay. And I think that's natural.
It is.
It's natural. It's like, I'm not going to let go until you prove more here. So we have to start with the wisdom faculty, and let's start making some better choices in our life. Let's listen to your show. Maybe I'll make some better choices. And if I make better choices, give me some more information. I'll believe you're going to get me out of the woods. Right? Yeah. So you give them some better answers to the questions. And this I find during my coaching. You give somebody some answers and it helps them. I say, come back to me if it helps. If not, go down the road and talk to somebody else. If they come back.
Well, it's in digestible bites, so to speak. It's going at a process.
Okay, so then we start there and we give some answers to that. But one of the things they start to realize is, I'm going to have to be honest, right? If I'm going to have a coach, or if I'm going to have an admirable friend, I'm going to have to be honest to myself and to that person about my intentions. Like, I tried and I didn't do it and I failed. And I was honest about my mistakes.
Right.
Right? Without taking it personally, you start to learn all these things. And then I think further down the road, you realize I'm going to have to relinquish. I'm going to have to let go of certain things to pull off this determination. And you can see each time we go through these qualities, those four categories, we are strengthening determination.
Yes.
Okay. And you notice the last quality is what?
The calming.
Calming qualities. And that was the last two sessions we covered, which was patience or endurance, same mm-hmm. word, and
equanimity.
And you heard some people say, oh, that's a lot. You know, that involves meditation. You see? Again, it's further down the line. The idea...
Well, some sort of reflective practice.
Yes, but what I'm saying is when you're still searching for happiness in the front end, you may not know that you need a calm mind right up front.
Well, if you think you can gut it out and
yeah, for your thinking mind. Yeah. You don't think you need meditation, or you don't need a contemplative practice. Now, some people come to us and they come right away and say, I'd like to get meditation so I can solve my stress. They think it's like a pill that's going to solve stress. Mm-hmm. But when do you really know? If you go back to your progression, wasn't it a progression where you started to see that after a while that, wow, if I keep my mind quiet, I can make better choices? But you had already started to make better choices.
Yes.
Right? So you were going through the four steps, the four categories. Mm-hmm. And again, those four categories are what?
They're wisdom, truth, letting go, and calming.
And all of the 10 ideal mind qualities fall within those
under those categories.
Out of those four categories. But there's a sequence there. And I know they're not totally sequential. You know, you can go from one and you can start the path on meditation and work your way back up to wisdom and say, oh, I guess that's why I'm meditating. And we've had some students say that. Yeah. Some students that have been meditating for quite a long time didn't understand beyond calming that they could use and make better choices, right? And that whole concept of reliable happiness was not fully understood for some meditators.
Right.
So it's not totally a sequential process, but the way we've chosen to teach these and bring them out into 10 ideal is in that sequence. Right. So I think it's important that we tell our listeners that that's the four categories. And the reason they're taught that way or introduced that way is because those are the four elements of a good determination, a growing determination, a conviction, another word for determination, mm-hmm. belief, anti-doubt, the opposite of doubt. I will get
because
my...
Because when they're exercised, then it reinforces and helps you on the path and on the journey.
Yeah. That's right.
Just try it out. Couldn't you say?
I think it's much easier for us to relate to people that way. We'll have a lot more followers with Admirable Friends because the bar won't be so high. And, you know, just listening, like I said, to Allison as we're doing our social network and where I'm a lot of times I'm coaching from, it's like I'm coaching people that are already further down the line in this program. That have gone through maybe Covey leadership or other forms of self-help, and they're ready for this. And then there's others just asking these questions. And I have to be darn careful that I'm not serving, you know, a steak to somebody that's only wanting an appetizer. And I think it really boils down to the understanding of the learning process and reflecting back on the learning process and what comes in what order, you know.
But I just think trying them on for size is really great. I mean, once we get into the four categories as the weeks go on, and I mean, they're just, I hate to use the phrase bulletproof, but they're just common courtesies or practicalities that transcend any kind of religion or, you know, race or anything or culture. It's
right.
Just, these are just,
but I'm
niceties.
Sure you can find them in every religion, but I think it's the way we're applying it is a little different, because what we're asking our listeners and ourselves to do is take those 10 qualities and apply them towards ourselves. Mm-hmm. In other words, not go out there and say, he's not being honest and truthful. That's not a very authentic person. That's not the application of authenticity.
Right.
The application in an admirable friendship network of authenticity is I had somebody that was dishonest with me today, and I still did not, I was still authentic with my response. Now, that's the learning. That's the application of authenticity. It's always towards ourselves, mm-hmm. those 10. So I agree with you. That's what's really nice, because it's those 10 things, everybody's aware of those 10 things.
Right.
But when we apply them towards ourselves, that's what makes it reliable happiness.
And plus the beauty is once we apply it to ourselves and we start to see it in ourselves, then we start to see it in others.
Yes.
And that's where the connection is made. That's the, what do they say in Africa? I see you.
They're
saying hello or giving a handshake. I see you. And that is powerful. You know, so it's when the eye sees the eye that it's a cool thing.
Yes, you are so trite. You are so correct. There's another comment on our chat line. I now know that my happiness and low stress are standing on a paper foundation made up of my current fortunate circumstances. Interesting. Developing these mind qualities is strengthening that foundation to support happiness when external circumstances change. Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That is really quite articulate.
It is. And I think we can agree that having a strong foundation or an anchor just grounds us a little bit more, because life is not perfect. And right. It's not all going to be a bed of roses. And we're not going to be skipping down the road to, you know, la-la land and just oblivious to what goes on. There's definite suffering and pains in the world. And some of them are going to hit closer to home sooner or later. And it's nice to know that we've got something that we can rely on.
Yeah. You know, when I read that statement, Carol, I really see the word or the lack of complacency in that statement. You know, a very heedful remark. It's like, things are going well for me. I'm very grateful for the things that have happened to me in my life, my circumstances. But I don't see it as a full foundation. So we're not resting on our laurels. That's what's so good about that statement.
I like that word, heedfulness.
Do you?
I do.
I thought you'd hate that one. Like,
you did?
Yeah, for some reason I thought you thought that was too techie. Because it's a very heedful comment that text comment makes.
Oh, I do like that word.
It's like...
Be on guard.
Guard.
Yeah. You know, just, you know...
Heed the warnings,
yeah.
You know.
But I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not meant to be like, be fearful of everything.
It's inherent in the Christian
phobia.
When they say, you know not when that day will come. Right? It's the same heedful warning. You can make it as fearful as you want, but the point is you don't rest on what you've got. I think that's a really nice statement.
That's a really wise thing. I like that.
I do too. It's worth reflecting on and pausing. A good determination takes on those four. And let's just kind of recap underneath those four categories again, which of the 10 are included with it. So under the overriding quality, obviously, is determination. But under the wisdom category of qualities, which is number one.
Sure. Is discernment and goodwill. Those two are in that category.
Yeah.
And we've touched upon discernment, which is...
Your sifting analogy was a beautiful one for that.
So, and it's thinking past the experience of the perception or the experience and evaluating it in a detailed basis, making mistakes, you know, looking at your mistakes and being objective and not owning, like not beating yourself up with the personal guilt.
But it's that choice, right? Skillful or unskillful.
Absolutely.
So when we think of discernment, we should think of skillful, unskillful.
Yes.
Cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of looking at my actions from a cause and effect standpoint, instead of looking at them just at a surface level, I did this, we look at the intention and the effect. You know, so you look a little deeper to the actions. That's that wisdom quality. And it's interesting how goodwill is also under the wisdom. Any takes on why you think it's under wisdom?
Well, because it's the desire for us and or others to find and to find reliable happiness. Not just us, but we wish it for others as well.
So that's why it's one of the wise categories.
Yeah.
It's like...
Easy. I think a lot of us will say, well, that's easier said than done, but it's hard to exercise that.
Yes.
I think I find at times it's very hard to do it and then not feel bad afterwards, but anyways...
Another comment on the chat line is, for me, less stress is a cognitive choice from within that has been built on the learning from prior stressful choices. Ooh.
That's the whole experience thing we were just talking about.
Yeah. That's somebody who's really got a good handle on their history and willing to look at it.
And
they use the word cognitively. You notice there's in that statement, there's not a whole lot of person in there.
There's a whole lot of meat, though.
There's a lot of meat, but they haven't identified with, they're saying it's a cognitive choice from within, mm-hmm. right? that is built on the learning from prior stressful choices. So there's the honesty and authenticity that I've made stressful choices, and I'm making them different choices based upon an awareness of those.
Of the experience.
Of the experience. That's really experiential. I like that. And that was by your name / Nick.
Nice.
That's no name. But in any case, the second category would be the truth qualities. And what are the three of the 10 mind qualities that are included under truth?
Well, the truth qualities have three of them. One is authenticity.
Which is really kind of truth itself.
Which is an honest to be aware of the true intentions preceding our actions, words, and thoughts. So we have to own up to what we say and what we do and what we think.
Yeah.
And take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
So, the other truth quality would be virtue.
Yeah.
Of course, displaying characteristics of virtue and moral excellence.
Yeah.
And then the third truth quality would be persistence. So a firmer, obstinate, continuing on a course despite difficulties or maybe little setbacks, saying, you know what, this is just a little bit of a setback. Let's keep going forward.
And that's definitely a key element of a good determination, isn't it?
And
you must be persistent.
Yes. And you can see why all of these are under truth.
Yeah.
You know, because they all require you to belly up to the bar, so to speak. And, you know, let's
you like that truth one. That's one thing I love about you. The truthful is a big one for you. I know.
I think that's really kind of like my quest. I want to be more authentic.
Right. I want to be like you. I want to be as authentic as you.
Oh, gosh, stop.
Let go qualities.
You want to do this one?
Okay.
What are they?
Why'd you give that one to me? Because, you know, I have a hard time letting go.
I don't know. It was just, it was very, I didn't have any.
Well, those include generosity. When you first hear generosity as being a category under let go, you say, what do you mean? Well, if you think about our wants and our desires and our taking is what we do 99% of the time, then certainly we have to give and to be generous and truly generous, we have to let go.
Right. And it doesn't mean material generosity either. We tried to bring that up. It's like, it's being generous with your thoughts towards others, with your words.
Yes.
And with your actions.
Yes.
So it doesn't, I mean, when we say generous, it's not like a monetary or material kind of generosity, but it encompasses thoughts, words, and deeds.
Intangibles, being kind to yourself for sure.
Gosh, that's the best gift of all.
It is.
Hard to do.
Well, with the admirable friends and with the program, we all learn from each other and we start giving each other some slack. Slack as far as identifying with our actions and taking it personal, but not really slack when it relates to being authentic and true about the actions or whether they were skillful or not. Right? When you can look at your actions in the past as either being skillful or not, just like this text chat said, without taking it personal and identifying with it, you're really on the road to some wisdom. Because that's where all the learning is going to take place. That's like learning the piano. You're not taking it personal when you strike a key wrong. You know,
you're seeing it in a whole new light.
You're not seeing it from a persona identification.
Well, you're too close to the action at that point. I mean, you're sutured to the.
You're identified with the action. Yeah. It's your action versus just an action. So the letting go also includes restraint, which is the old and that's trading the candy for the gold. And one of the things that we'll talk about with restraint is that. You just don't say no. You have to say yes to some of the other inner development qualities. So you start making friends with your inner being, right? Your inner breath, your inner energy levels. You start finding comfort in being with yourself. And this is the gold that you're trading for the candy. Instead of having to stuff your mouth with potato chips, you might just sit there and learn how to be with yourself. And again, it's a progression. We get to those qualities as we get more and more determined and we have a better determination that this is the right path. I'm getting out of the woods.
Right, because the conviction builds.
It builds. We're really starting to make sense, I think, this time. I hope our listeners see it that way. But I feel like this time around teaching this lesson, we're making more sense.
I catch. So
I'm going to give ourselves a pat on the back.
Okay.
All right, and the last one, of course, is the calming qualities, which you're the greatest at calming, so why don't you go over that one?
No. The last two were endurance and equanimity, and so endurance is underneath the calming quality because it's remaining patient and tolerant for long periods of time, and the ability to withstand. I mean, it's sort of like your bounce back time is a lot less. You'll be able to see that. Do you know what I mean? From
yes.
the qualities, where you're not hanging on to animosity so much anymore, or any kind of bad feeling. The bounce back
yes.
is quick. I mean, the recovery time is almost
absolutely
instant. So that's the resiliency that you get from that endurance. And then the equanimity is the calmness and the composure and the evenness of your emotion, that feeling of just evenness.
Yes.
So
that's the four categories, and that's what we have in store over the next 9 weeks as we go through each one of these and bring them in light and deal with them from where people are. So which is really, hopefully we can bring some regulars on our show and ask them to attend with us.
I think people would like that because they might get sick of hearing us.
So, you know,
sometimes I get sick
for those that want to be on a show, would you please type into the instant chat that you want in? Because what we're going to do is have you sit here right with Carol and I in the studio, and with the beauty of Skype, we're going to have you typed into the just be like we're talking in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love their perspective as we go through each one of these. So, please let us know if you're interested in joining the show.
I think I might want to look ahead at the 10 ideal mind qualities. Maybe there's one that really speaks to them and resonates with them as
yes.
far as something that they find that their practice or their experience has led them that makes a connection. So they have something to contribute, and that would be nice.
Mare makes a comment that a text in her instant chat, being completely honest with ourselves seems to be a huge key, not easy for some, not always easy for some. How true that is.
That is true.
And I feel that pain when we're not, I mean, when we're ignoring that honesty, it's not because of malintent or anything like that. It's just that we're not in touch with, and we're just denying that stressful experience. When you really start being honest, though, it's so easy, isn't it?
You
finally let go.
I mean, I find times when I can BS myself into thinking something else because probably I don't want to address whatever it is at the same time, whether it's fear or shame or some other emotion. But I do think that some of those qualities, I mean, if you hit them head on and you get to the other side, you appreciate it more because you actually made the effort and you found that you're still standing. It's not as bad as you make it out to be.
Yes.
I mean, I can always manufacture in my head it to be a million times worse than it probably would be. So.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And I think it is sometimes you do it, sometimes you don't.
But hopefully, you know, with the practice, you're just going to, there's more times when you will confront it and get to the other side versus brushing it under the rug.
But don't you find it easier to be honest when you unhook yourself from the action? You know, when you actually decouple yourself from it and you don't identify with the action?
Yes, because when you personalize it, then you're just, gosh.
But isn't that the reason you ignore it when you are personal? Because you say to yourself, I can't beat myself up here. And the reason why you're not being honest with your action is because you think it's all you who did it. And you've taken, you know, so you'll feel like less self-esteem. But the moment you make that shift and you start seeing it from the observer point of view, right, and say, what is it that happened here? Then you can be as honest as you want to be because it's much more, it's like that that chatter said that I see it from a cognitive standpoint. It's just one step removed.
Right. Now, wasn't there a story, something about when you said something about walking, you walk by a window, a storefront.
The vase,
and
example.
You see a vase in the window and the vase falls and breaks as you're looking through the window.
Yeah, that story when you're walking down the street and all of a sudden there's a girl in the window cleaning the vase and it drops on the ground and there's a certain emotion that comes with that now you turn around, you buy the vase and you bring it home and it drops on the floor. Your emotion is stronger than when you were on the street. Why is that? The vase hit the ground, it's the same situation. It's the identification with the vase.
That's correct.
It's my vase. That's why I say, when you say it's my mistake, you have to be careful with that my, because you've identified with that mistake versus this was an action that took place, right? How do I look at that? Did it cause me stress, right? Did it cause others stress? Was it leading to reliable happiness? Now, what do I need to do to fix it? Now we're into really like the real deal.
Yes, and the discernment comes with asking those questions and finding out what is not worthy of owning, taking responsibility for, and what is.
Right. Well, and that's part of that calming, and that's why we want to get people down to number 8 and number 9 of the mind qualities, because once you're calm and you're collected, you can depersonalize things so much easier than when you're seeing red. It's like the person that's angry, you say to them, oh, don't get angry. Other people, you know, you come up with all this rational, and that person's still angry. Well, they're angry because they're identified.
You can't see anything else, you know, so that makes perfect sense.
Right. They've lost perspective. So... But again, no one's going to jump into the 8th and 9th step of the practice without feeling that they've made progress in the self and answering basic questions is who am I and what do I need to do to improve my life? Mm-hmm. And that's where I want to keep our show as much as we can, Carol. I really want to keep it basic.
Okay.
You know, as much as in my everyday coaching, we get into some more details with people that have been in this program for a while. I think most listeners really want to... understand what is this, how would I live this life, and how could I get any benefit from this show by just listening. That should be our goal. We have to provide benefit from just the conversation.
Got it.
So I think Mare says, exactly, buddy, that's why mind training is so helpful. Yeah, it is. I know, Mare. But you were fortunate when you came into the practice that you went right to the meditation cushion for whatever reason, and you got quiet and saw the benefits of it right away, and was able to relate to yourself in an impersonal way. I remember the way we used to joke about our mistakes, and when you can joke about your mistakes in a lighthearted way and with that same kind of responsibility that says I won't do it anymore, I'm going to try, I'm resolved to change it, then I think you're on the road to recovery. But when you're still kind of taking everything so personal,
you bristle at everything you do and kind of like
that's lies at the heart of your denial. Mm-hmm. Because why would you open a sore up, and the very sore you put on yourself, you don't even know it, you know, because you attributed the mistake to yourself. And you never know this when you're caught in this realm. I did that for so many years, blaming myself. That's why it was such a relief, and I know Mare felt that relief, when she started to see the truth of sitting there saying, well, it's not me, it's my actions.
Right.
And I was taught some of these things, and yeah, they're unskillful, and yeah, they're stupid, but at least somebody else is experiencing what I'm experiencing. I think a lot of stupid things, and I say a lot of things that are bad things to people. Well,
join the club.
Join the club, we start recognizing it, we start being honest with it, and we start changing it. And now we're on the road to reliable happiness. Mm-hmm. Because we're no longer plagued in all of these puzzled questions that we never knew were self-induced. We didn't know that all of our stress was self-induced.
No, I thought it was all out there.
Yeah, it was all out there. So that, talk about jumping ahead. We just jumped ahead with that one. I hope we didn't floor anybody with
well,
that.
Forget about what we just said. Everybody.
Yeah, forget what I just said.
Yeah.
Anyways, we've come to time, but we're actually over time.
Oh, here at 3 minutes,
and it's been so good.
It's nice being back.
It is back. I just feel, and this chat's great.
It is great.
You know, we didn't have people calling in, so we wondered whether they were listening, and this gives us that connection.
Out there.
They're out there.
They have thoughts and comments, and
yeah,
I get it.
So
well, thanks. You know, I want to thank
email
everybody.
Us, Carol. What's the email?
Hello at admirablefriends.org.
There you go.
You're goofing on me, aren't you?
Well, I usually remember all the time.
I know, because you like it when I say that.
You're so good at that. But what we have to invite people to join the show. So if you have an interest in joining the show, you either email us or text us on. And by the way, this text line is there all the time, all during the week. So I'll check it once in a while if you'd like to. But anyway,
thanks
we're going
to everybody that texted it tonight and chatted and.
We're going to sign off, and we're grateful for our listeners.
Yes.
We're grateful for the road to reliable happiness, and we're grateful for admirable friendship.
That's true. Until next week, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.